Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Cut the music.
Uh-oh, what? You got something?
This D-Day, man. This is D-Day. We talk about D-Day for a lot of Knick players, man. The future of the Knicks organization and this team is currently constituted. It is D-Day. Man, the New Yorkers will not take kindly to the gentleman sweep in the Garden. Will not tolerate lack of hustle. Did you see, and you put it on the thread, Alan, did you see that MVP and why he was the MVP? He's a prima donna. He's an MVP. Why is he doing all that? 7 foot. Turnover. No pouting, like you said. Busting his ass to get back there. He was like the Cambodian night train going down there.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Oh, Cameroon. Cameroon. Cameroonian.
I understand. It was I watched the game and I couldn't wait. Like, I just looked at it and I thought, that's it. When Julius Randle says what he says about how maybe they want it more, and it's usually when you say things like that, it's a reflection of your own thoughts, right? He says that, and then I'm watching, and I remember watching game four, and I remember just, you know, him turning the ball over and then putting his head down and stopping while everybody runs down the floor and he just stands at half court watching a battle for a couple of rebounds, a couple of loose balls, like, and you're just saying to yourself, what the hell are you doing just standing there watching? And then you see Joel Embiid, and don't tell me you're tired, because Joel Embiid's got a bad knee. I mean, a bad knee.
Yeah.
And he's also dealing with the fatigue factor, too. He's missed some time because of the knee. He can't practice. He can't run. He can't do a lot. So he's just playing. But his team is beating the pants off the Celtics in their building.
Yo.
And he smells blood in the water. Like, he knows. Like, we're going to get this. And he's never been out of the second round. So there's a hunger. There's pain that he has been through.
And the double bounce, the boing, boing, boing.
Oh, yeah. It goes back to Kawhi. So there's Embiid, who does like a crazy spin dribble. And, there's traffic around. It's a bad play. Loses the ball. It goes the other way. And all you see is this guy sprinting down the court with a chase down block. That epitomizes the difference between the opponent wanting him more and you wanting it more. And I couldn't help it. I said, well, that's it. That's it right there. It's so hard to explain this stuff sometimes when we're on the air here. It's hard to explain it with, you can't use statistics. So when you're trying to explain the difference that you're looking for, when everybody's saying you're making too much of Julius Randle, that it's not all his fault, and nobody's saying it's all his fault. But right. What we're saying is that when you are considered a leader of your team in the playoffs, in must-win, you reach that point of got to get this game. There's a level that you take it to that becomes about you because your teammates respond when the best players are given all effort. Your teammates suddenly go, yo, if he's locked in, I'm locked in. If he's diving, I'm diving. Like, let's go. And that's the difference, and that's why the Sixers are right now on the verge of finally getting out of the second round and maybe getting to the conference finals. Why that is a reality because of the effort he gave in a moment like that. And all I'm saying is I hope Julius Randle was watching that game last night and had a little bit of an inspiration to himself of, oh, you know that thing we love to always do, the what more do you want from me?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's the thing you and I always have fun with. Because it's really just the
more do you want from me?
Because sometimes athletes who feel like they're being picked on, they feel like they're being heavily criticized, you know, they feel like it's unfair. And what do you, you're asking me to do all that. Well, I gave you 20. I gave you. And then you realize, no, that's what people want.
Yeah.
That.
And in a
nutshell, that's what we're talking about.
And what is it, right? What we said all the time. Attitude reflects what?
Leadership.
So when you see LeBron running down there and timing up his steps to blast to get Curry, as he always does.
Or you see him setting a screen for Lonnie Walker, because even though I'm a Hall of Famer, Lonnie Walker, I know he's got it cooking, and I need him to make some buckets. I need him to feel confident. So, yes, I'm LeBron James, and I'm coming to set a screen for him instead of coming to get the ball. Oh, no, Lonnie, you got to cook it. I'm setting you up because I'm selfless. Yeah, selfless as a leader. Those are the things that win in the postseason, everybody.
And that's what it is, right? So now you talk about, okay, if he takes a playoff, then what if somebody else complains and they take a playoff? And you look up and you add all those plays off, and that's the difference between 8 to 10 points.
It can be the difference
between winning and losing.
It's
right?
also because the difference between your
transition.
Bench and your players that are watching, feeling inspired versus feeling depressed. Feeling like, there's no way, we're not winning this. We're not winning this. Like, you get a sense of hopelessness when you look around you and just see they want it more than we do. Simple as that. Now, Bart. Before we get to the calls, 800-919-3776. And we got a lot to do today. Very busy day. We're going to go full buffet. We have the NFL schedule release. Very interesting stuff happening there. The Mets have more issues. The Yankees, we called it, by the way. We called it yesterday. And then we have the Knicks as well. So a lot on the plate today. But I want to point out something as a reason why there's no way in hell the Knicks should lose this game tonight. It has nothing to do with being eliminated. It has nothing to do with being eliminated at home. Do you know what today is?
Today.
Yes.
Today I don't.
Today is May 8th, right? I mean, I'm sorry, May 10th.
May 10th, yeah.
Yes. Well, on this day in 1973, the Knicks won the NBA championship. Their last one. This day... That series ended in 5 games in L.A. against Wilt Chamberlain and the Lakers. This was the date. This is the 50th anniversary.
Oh, those are special when they hit them flat numbers.
Of the 1973 NBA championship, the last time the Knicks have won a championship. And so this is a day that is special. This is a date that is special, but a day because it's the 50th, like you said, the 50th anniversary. There is. I don't care that none of these players were born anywhere near this. I don't care that most of these players probably have no idea. They can't probably name more than one or two players on that team. But this is not a day that you can lose a game at Madison Square Garden in the playoffs. Not this day. You can't do that. That Dick team, by the way, had 6 players who went on to the Hall of Fame. Clyde, Pearl, Willis Reed, who we lost this year, Dave DeBuscher, Bill Bradley, and Jerry Lucas. But it's the most Hall of Famers on any championship team since 1970. 6 Hall of Famers off one team. That's not to mention their coach, Red Holzman, who also went into the Hall of Fame as a coach. And then we mentioned Phil Jackson, a key reserve on that team, who eventually went into the Hall of Fame as a coach as well. But as far as players go, 6 Hall of Famers. Do you know 5 guys... average 15 points per game in the playoffs that year for that team?
Wow.
You don't see it. One team, listen, only one other team has had that, where it's that much, where it's not top heavy. Everybody got the ball. The Lakers, it was a Laker team in the early 80s that also did that. That's it. So this is a special team. This is not just like some random, oh, this team won a championship, whatever. This is not random. This might be the most special championship team in Knicks history. I know there's only 2. But this is probably more special because of just how damn good that team was. And the fact that it's the last one. It's one of the greatest teams in NBA history because, again, of all the talent it had and also how they played. They were one of the smartest teams in NBA history. And I'll add one last thing and then I'm done. I'm sorry, but I just wanted to make this point so everybody listening could understand the significance of this day. You just got to understand. You don't lose on this day. The last thing I'll say is the Knicks, this championship team, this great team, they won it also in 1970. They went to the finals in 72. So they were 3 finals appearances, 2 championships in a 4-year span. It's a hell of a run that that group had. They never had a parade down the Canyon of Heroes. The only team in New York, the only city team that won a championship, multiple, and never had a parade. Because John Lindsay didn't want champions, he didn't want to celebrate teams. He didn't want to spend the money on it. They had no money in the city back then. The Mets in 69 were the last team to have a parade, and then the Yankees in 77 were the next team to have a parade. The Knicks never got a parade. It's one of the old untold stories in the history of sports in New York.
That's like not going to your proms, eh?
Yeah, they had a what they have like a reception, a mayor's reception,
oh,
instead of a parade. So again, the city was broke back then. Broke. It was embarrassing. But bottom line is that you're talking about one of the most beloved teams in the city, one of the greatest teams in the sport.
Team. You said it right. Teams.
And right, one of those things where you just—that's a team, and it was never celebrated in a way that we like to celebrate our champions. So just remember the significance of the day and how important it is to me for the current team to just understand, not today. That's all I got for you.
Have some pride, man. I mean, this is in your building. You don't want somebody to have another outstanding performance hushing your building. If you don't hustle in front of your building with your backs against the wall, and if it's one of those they wanted it more than we wanted it, I just don't know how you look each other in the eyes after that one. I mean, this is all hands on deck. I mean, you see all the lower seeds. Man, this is crazy. All the lower seeds are, you know, until Phoenix lost yesterday, all the lower seeds were looking like they were going to be the representatives in the conference championships. You know, and if Phoenix can figure out a way how to figure it out, you know, Jokic is just a beast right now. I mean, I feel so bad for DeAndre Ayton. I mean, how can you leave a man? Dude get 5 or 6 dribbles. Nobody's even in the picture. He get to figure out, do he want to go over the right shoulder, the left shoulder? He want to pump fake? He want to drop step? It's like, yo, man, come on, man. And Aiden is right there, but he's able to get wherever he wants. He's 290, people. Jokic weighs 290 pounds. That's equivalent to being Jonathan Ogden or Riley Rofe in football. Like, Aiden's probably, what, 270? Maybe?
I don't think he's even that big.
Right. So you're talking about a guy 20, 30 pounds on you. You got to try and anchor. And then once he anchors, he even though he's not fast, he can just spin off. It's crazy that it's criminal. That, and then I'm supposed to go down there and hustle after I just lifted 290 and sat there. Yeah, bang me up in my chest. Like, man, come on, man.
Think about it. Aiden was a number one pick and a guy who fancied himself as a bigger deal than I'm a role player on my team.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, he and Monty Williams in the past have clashed. They've had issues. You know, he wanted more. You know, he wanted to have the ball in his hands a little more. He wanted to have an opportunity
to They didn't want to pay him a couple years ago. They were trying to figure out how to move him.
Yeah, but then they had to match the offer sheet. They didn't let him go. And so now they have him. But, look, Booker and Durant are two of the most prolific duos we've ever seen in the playoffs. But you do have an issue with their depth, and it shows. Now, look, they go back home. It's 3-2. They could win and make force of game 7. We'll see. But besides what happened in the West, what happened in the East last night, Bart? As we mentioned, the Embiid play that I saw and immediately said to myself,
Maxie.
I hope Julius is watching this.
Yeah, Maxie
the Sixers
happened.
Have suddenly flipped that series upside down, and now they go home up 3-2. Can you, and again, look at the path to the NBA Finals in the East. The Celtics could be out of this thing, and they don't even, like, you think the Knicks look like they're done, or at least did in game 4. Do the Celtics look like a team that has any kind of idea of what they really want to do or what their identity is?
Man, they got booed in the Garden twice. Booed, cheered, and booed again. It's like,
that?
Max, I mean, they got booed early.
Yeah, they were getting frustrated with that performance.
And if it wasn't for, like, some untimely turnovers from, you know, Embiid and kind of some sloppy play while he was on the bench, that they could have widened that thing up to 30. You know, as you looked up, Boston made a bit of a run, got it down to, like, 8 or 9, 12. And then, you know, Maxie just refused. He just continued to hit big shot after big shot.
Wild, man. Just absolutely wild to see what's going on in the playoffs. It is wide open. It certainly is. We got big games tonight, of course, but none bigger than the game at the Garden tonight. Will it be the last game of the season? As I said, it's May 10th. It's the 50th anniversary of the 73 championship team. There's no way in hell. There's no way in hell you let this be the last game of the season. And Jimmy Butler, everybody, I'm going to let you know something. All right? Jimmy Butler is coming here to close the building for the summer. This is not hyperbole. I'm not playing this up. I'm telling you what I know. Jimmy Butler, his intention is to come in tonight and break hearts and send everybody home, including his good friend Tom Thibodeau. That's on his mind. So it's not like you're going to get the Heater a little full of themselves or whatever. Jimmy Butler is coming here to close the building. Just know you're probably getting his best game. Because you really think about it with the series, he's put up numbers, but has he had a playoff Jimmy game yet? He has not. Now, the ankle has had something to do with it. But I'm letting everybody know, if you're going to the game tonight, or if you're going to watch tonight, or if you're listening right on 98.7 ESPN, I'm telling you right now, Jimmy Butler, playoff Jimmy, is expected to show up tonight because he wants to pull the plug, close the lights, take over Billy Joel. It's your building now for the rest of the summer. That's his intention. He's coming with sinister thoughts. He's got bad intentions today. Keep that in mind. And I hope the Knicks are well aware of that, the date, the significance of it, and everything else. So we've got an epic one setting up for tonight at the Garden. 800-919-3776 is the number. Did I overplay it, Bart, or do you think I made my point?
No, I think you made your point.
I mean, I'm dead serious when it comes to Jimmy Butler. I'm telling you right now. Everything I know, I can tell you. He is coming to close the building tonight. Let's grab some calls here. Let's go to Armando in Austin to start us off. Armando.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Doing well. What's up, Bart?
What up? What it do, baby?
Not much, man. Hey, I'm calling out from Austin, Texas. Yep. I just wanted to give y'all a shout-out. I am actually I'm at the gym right now trying to get beast mode like Bart.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
It's still your set. Call. I don't care if you choke, you throw up, and steal your set.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Steal your set. Hey, I just wanted to call and just let y'all know, man, I'm hoping the Knicks come out hard tonight. I want to see Randle switch it up, man. I hate seeing that. It just seems like he's down on himself, and I hate seeing that because he's a great player. And I want him to step it up tonight, and I want him to go hard, and I want him to let Jimmy Buckets know it ain't going to happen tonight. May happen later. It ain't going to happen tonight. And y'all have made me a New York fan. I'd never been a New York fan. And now I catch myself sitting here, wanting to go for the Jets. I'm a huge Cowboys fan. But man.
Listen, you can cheer for the Jets in the AFC if you rocking with Dallas in the NFC.
But when the Jets play the Cowboys this year,
You're going to be torn. Listen, the Jets need good things. You won 3 in the 90s. Let us have some good things because we can take it to show. You can believe in A-Rod a little bit better than you can believe in Dak. This is a big pivotal year for Dak because they're trying to figure out what they're going to do as far as that extension because they need to get some salary cap relief, but they didn't give him the extension that they needed to because it really was a 2-year deal, even though they put it as a 4-year deal. If Dak doesn't perform this year, they went out and – it's going to be – oh, man, it could be some trouble, some smoke in the city, Armando. Breathe through your nose, out your mouth. I started talking because I heard you struggling on the treadmill, whatever you're doing right now, and I wanted to let you be able to breathe instead of talk for a little bit so you can get powered up.
But we remember Armando when we were on the national network. He used to call all the time, and we appreciate you staying with us on the stream. Thank you so much. It means a lot to us that you stayed with us.
Absolutely, guys.
It does, Armando.
Hey, guys,
call anytime.
Appreciate it. Hey, guys, y'all make my day so much better. I appreciate y'all. Y'all are the best duo on the radio.
All right.
Appreciate
Super
it. Armando, one more rep. That's all you got to do. One more rep every day. You're going to look back and you'll see how far you came. You're going to be ripped up. You're going to be this rippling, stealing sex appeal, Armando. You know what I'm saying? It's summertime.
Go,
it's time to rock out with your socks out.
All right, baby. Let you get back to work. Go ahead. Get back to work. We appreciate you, though, Armando.
Yeah, I was letting Armando breathe.
Yeah, take that breath.
Armando, my guy, man. But Armando, you sound like you walk on the beach with socks and your flip-flops.
What?
I'm just playing. Don't you hate it? Ain't it always funny, the guys that got the flip-flops on with the socks? It's the calf socks, too.
And it's a little – right. Not even like the little socks.
It's the calf socks.
All the way up the calf. Covering it up. Baritone in Queens. Baritone. All right, how are we feeling about this today, man?
What's going on, guys? I don't know. It's like deja vu when – they played Atlanta, and, you know, they needed shooting. They got Evan Fournier for that, but you don't play him. And then now, Tibbs is so stubborn. How are you going to want how you think the other teams, like Jaylen Brown, if he get bounced, if they lose to Philadelphia, he's going to want to be traded. So how you think players are going to want to play with Tibbs playing all those minutes? You know they're going to want to rest up for the playoffs like Jimmy Butler.
Baritone, I never met a player that didn't want to play. I mean, maybe Ben Simmons, But there aren't many players that would say, I want to play less minutes. There's just, that doesn't exist. Players don't look at Tibbs and say, oh, I don't want to play for him because he plays me too much. They might not want to play for him because he drives a team hard, because he'll keep you in the gym all day watching film and going through practice. But he's not – I've never heard a player say, I hate playing for him because he played me too many minutes. Never heard anybody say that. So that's not a deterrent. Now, the Jaylen Brown stuff, if you don't think I what did I say this, Bart, about a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
That I started bringing that name up, and I said, you got to watch what's going on in Boston, man. You got to watch what's going on, because you never know. And if he starts saying, no, this isn't for me, and I have an opt-out, I can walk away in another year.
He said, I'm the number one star,
thank you, Baritone.
I'm a one. Jaylen Brown is a one, and he's being treated like he's a co-star. Well, he should be the main guy because he got the dog in him. Tatum doesn't have the same dog in him that Jaylen Brown has. He doesn't bring it consistently. Jaylen Brown last year carried Boston through those playoffs when it was too much.
He was the best player in the finals.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I know he's probably like, listen, man, it's time for me to get my own squad. And if he came here, yes, Julius Randle is here. I don't know what it'd take to get him here. Yes, R.J. Barrett is here. Yes, Brunson is here. But this would be his team. His team. But he seems like the humble star that we need. If you ever heard that young man speak and how he carries himself and how he goes about his business, he's thoughtful. He's introspective.
Yes.
He's humble. Man, that'd be a get. That mean people are always trying to say, oh, let's get Zion, let's get him. Remember, this guy is just as equal as a star as those guys are. He may not just have the name recognition because he is quiet. He's not a self-promoter. But, man, does he play tenacious? You talk about a 3-and-D guy, a wing defender. Man, there you go.
It's everything that would fit on this team and the mentality that I think would meld well with guys like Brunson and Hart and players like that, that I think you're really trying to tap into that type of personality. I can't imagine that you wouldn't want more of those kind of guys, now that you've seen what those kind of guys bring to the table. But again, that's all, you know, well, you still have to wait and see where things go. But, you know, there's definitely something brewing there with him. He has made that clear. He has never tried to tamp down any of the talk about him potentially going somewhere else. And as things are fizzling up there in Boston. Now, look, the Boston Celtics would prefer to trade him to anyone but the Knicks. You know that. There's no way they would want to make a trade with the Knicks for him.
But they got
so it's going
right.
to be very difficult, of course, to do something like that.
Well, they got to do right by him if that's what he wants to do.
Well, they don't have to do anything.
I mean, he can just say, okay, I'll stay here and then I'll let my contract expire. Then what they going to do? Ain't no franchise tag in basketball.
There is not.
And so if he plays,
he has 1 year left,
and then an option, right?
And then he's a free agent.
Right.
There is no player option.
That's what I'm saying. So he might say, "Listen, I'm going to play one more year, and I'm gone. Now you either trade me, get something for me, or I'm gone. Like it's time for you, because listen, they got decisions to make. Al Horford can't play forever,
and you don't want to go into next season with that uncertainty, right? If he's not going to sign an extension.
Right.
You know, what then are you going to do?
If
you go into the season and you're going to negotiate with him throughout the season, that hangs over the team. And then February, it comes down to, do you trade him then, which you probably won't get nearly as much as you would if you traded him this summer.
Right.
So there's a lot riding on that. And remember I told you, I said this like a month ago, that you need to be preparing now. Like if I was in the Knicks front office, I would have scenarios planned out on how do we get him, which would also include having to get another team involved. But you know Boston is almost like there's zero chance that they will want to trade him to you. So you have to know you're going to pay a tax. You're going to pay a tax. It's going to cost you more than it will someone else because of who you are and the proximity to Boston, the proximity in the rivalry, the division, the conference, and everything else. They don't want to see him. They don't want to make that trade. It's similar to when someone asked Sean Marks – about Kevin Durant when they were moving Durant. And I can tell you, I've said this before, the Knicks called when Durant asked for a trade in the summer. The Knicks called because you have to.
You got to.
You have to.
It's negligent if you don't.
And Sean made it clear, we are not trading him to you. That's
Sean,
it.
Sean, I hate you.
I don't care what you're offering, we are not trading him to you. And I get that because if you're Brooklyn, it's the last thing you want to do. Like, I don't care if I can get more. I don't care if I can get 12 first-round picks. I'm not trading him to you. And so that's it. So you just know, but you have to ask and create every scenario possible of how can we do it that we end up with him in the end.
But trading him is contingent as well on him signing an extension or a long term. It's a sign
and
trade.
That's how he controls it.
Right. So he like,
is the acquiring
team. You can send me where
right.
you want to send me, but I ain't signing nothing.
Exactly. That's so, how
like
that's
Kyrie,
how the player
right?
controls
it's like Kyrie, right?
Yes. And so some teams might say, well, we'll take him and you know, we'll deal with it then. And you know for Jalen, there's going to be other teams that he's more than willing to go to.
Of course.
It's not like he's the only team I want to go to is Team A.
But guess where his girlfriend's from?
Where's his girlfriend from?
Bernice Burgos, baby.
I know.
Instagram legend, 42. Got a daughter his age, and she lives right here in Edgewater or Hoboken. She's around here somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Maybe want to come home.
Why don't you get on that, man?
Little
baby,
baby girl, baby. You know what I'm saying? Get on this little baby girl. You know what I'm saying?
Get on that business right now.
Sex in the City. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, can we work something out, please?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
As we said, it's a buffet day today. It's the middle of the week. There's a lot going on. I mean, there's headlines left and right. We'll get back to your calls momentarily, but let's just glaze over a little bit of things. We'll get deeper into this, I think, in the 1 o'clock hour. We like to do to break it up, but the NFL schedule release is slated for tomorrow night, but we're already getting
more,
like
more leaks than the White House. Yeah, more leaks than the White House, man.
A little sprinkle here, a little sprinkle there. The Jets had a video up on their social media where they asked all the players to predict who are the Jets going to play in week one. And Aaron Rodgers, you know what he said?
The Giants.
Yes.
That's what he said?
He did. He said
get out of there, because he understands how gangster that would be.
He knows. He's well aware of how good that would
Willis? Everybody know, but I hope Rodgers scared L. But I don't care about, was it Ramadan? Because I remember Tannenbaum used to say that they used to schedule things around the Jewish community because of their holidays in September.
Well, it's not Ramadan then.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something, man. I just know my kids don't be in school in September. I'm like, why am I paying tuition? Like, they don't go to school in September.
Yeah, I know that there's always something when it comes to, you know, the holidays, everything else. Yeah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah,
exactly. It's around all of that they're always mindful of people. And so it is something that the Jets pay attention to and the New York teams do pay attention to with their scheduling. However, in this case
– it's too juicy.
I mean, Monday Night Football on September 11th between the Jets and the Giants makes sense on so many levels. And if you're ABC, you're all in on this. Aaron Rodgers' first game as a Jet. But let me ask you this, Bart. So the Jets, so what has been leaked so far is that the Jets are going to play the Dolphins in that Black Friday lineup.
Way to go, Amazon.
On Amazon, the day after Thanksgiving, 3 o'clock at MetLife Stadium. And we're going to have fun later on in the show. You
3
can start o'clock? Thinking about it now,
3 o'clock?
You can call, 3 o'clock. And then you can, you can text us or tweet us, I should say, or anything else. You can text Bart. I'll give you his number. And we're trying to think of things that you could sell during the game on Amazon. Like you could have pop-ups that's not football related. Like, for instance, like when Jalen Waddle does something, pop up like a little like a penguin Snuggie that your kids would love for Christmas.
Chili Willy. Chili Willy.
You know what
from
I mean?
From Woody Woodpecker. What about the crocodiles along the river now? He a chew.
So we'll come up with some fun. Anything you could think of, tweet at us at Bart and Han when it comes to just like things that are not football related. Because you know how it is. It's easy
it's
to
your
sell,
Christmas shopping too,
sell
yeah.
jerseys and all that. That's easy. But a pop-up during the game when you're like
they're going to put
Sauce
Scantrons
Gardner
on
gets
TV.
An interception and it's like click on the barbecue sauce that
Isotonus.
Has all these like you know this is the highest rated barbecue sauce we sell. Wouldn't you love to have wings on Sunday? You can have this sauce by Sunday morning to make wings for Sunday football. Like whatever it is, we'll have fun with that. We'll do that later on in the show.
That's great because after Thanksgiving, it's leftover season.
Yeah.
So you might need some sauce to try and make that turkey taste different on a turkey sandwich instead of, you know, eating turkey for the fifth day in a row.
Whatever it is, if you could think of funny things from that game that could pop up that aren't football related but would be relatable to the game, subliminal things that Amazon could do to make you buy stuff during that game, we'll have fun with that. The Giants, this is something that you talk about saucy. How about this one? Giants at Philadelphia Christmas Day.
Mm. And listen, you know, I'm friends with Mraz, the guy who pooped his pants over there. And, he used to be Damian Amalora. I always say it wrong. DA. His name's Sean Mraz. He's over. You know, he's over there. He does CBS Sports. You know, okay. He used to be my producer.
Gotcha.
You know, on the other show.
Yeah.
And he pooped his pants. Like, he pooped his pants live on air. He makes fun of himself, but he's a huge Giant fan.
Okay.
And for a certain reason, I don't know if he represents the Giants fans, but he said that the NFL crapped on them that day because apparently he thinks that's a bad scheduled day to have the Giants on Christmas away, which I don't understand because I remember the butt fumble was on Christmas Day.
It's also a two-hour bus ride.
Not even.
Yeah, most of the players will be home. I believe the game's at 4. Anyways, I don't know. Okay, it's still, if you're a football fan, you love it. Because, it's Eagles at home on Christmas Day, which means Santa's getting booed.
Yes.
And then on top of it, it's Eagles-Giants.
Santa might get his ass kicked.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's also a rivalry thing. So anyways, so there's that, and then there's some other stuff going on. So we'll get into that for sure, and we'll have some fun with it. 800-919-3776. I'm going to make Bart talk about how the Mets are in trouble. They're in Barney, Bart. They're in Barney. And you can't deny it. And no, I'm not deflecting or anything.
We eventually have to discuss, Max
Scherzer did miss the start last night. There is some concerns about him.
Lost by one, man.
You lost to the Reds. You went down 4-1. Anyway, worst team money can buy.
The kid,
we got to talk about it.
The kid wasn't even – he just got off the bus.
He's not a kid. And, yes, you're right. They did bring Peterson up, which I told you – during the show yesterday,
they
called him up from Syracuse because they had a feeling that Scherzer was not going to be able to go. So there's concerns all around. And then did we not call it on Aaron Hicks? Hip injury.
Can't make this up, man.
I wasn't even trying to make it up.
Well, at least they're getting full off the A's.
Like we just, what did we say? Like you got a double, you got a home run. That they didn't want to DFA him, so they didn't. You know, to get to fit Judge back onto the team, they don't do it. And I said, watch. Something's going to now go on him. And sure enough, he's running bases. And there it goes, the hip.
Like, it's not like he's Barry Sanders and he's making people miss. He's running in a circle. It's like.
He's literally running straight.
It is three left turns. Jeez.
There are some things that you can count on. Chris Paul getting hurt in the playoffs and Aaron Hicks getting hurt the minute he starts hitting.
And Popeye's messing up your order.
And that too. 800-919-3776 is the number. All right, let's do this. Let's break early here because we just kind of messed around. We got calls stacked, racked, and ready to go. So let's leave a lot of time to get to those and talk to the people. And we'll dive deeper into what's already being, again, what's being sprinkled out about the NFL schedule release. And we'll look forward to some things too. Things that we want to see when it comes to matchups and everything else. We got that. Yes, the Mets. We got to hear from them and what the hell's going on with that team.
Before people add us, I messed up. The butt fumble was on Thanksgiving. I try to wash it out of my memory.
I didn't want to think about
it. So I really don't realize when it was. It just was a bad day in Jets history.
Well, one thing we know is the Jets won't play on Thanksgiving that day. Right?
That's great.
Because they're playing the very next day. So don't have to worry about that.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
ChatGPT.
You have been, well, not just that, but just how the technology is just continues to develop. Yep. And like I'm equally like excited and scared about what's becoming because I came across this yesterday. It blew my mind because not only has there been there's an AI that has Jay's voice perfect.
Yep.
And ironically, they have him rapping Ether. Which.
Right, that's sacrilegious.
I mean, what? And then I heard this morning It's an AI version of Biggie, obviously.
Yeah.
Rapping New York State of Mind. Nas. And it, by the way, it not only does it sound perfect as far as voice and tempo and even down to his breathing.
Yep.
In itself, just listening to it, I mean, it's hot fire. Like, it's...
But that's the thing. Like, also...
so good.
Listen, it can help artists because they can have their own ghostwriter without ever having a ghostwriter, and the people can never tell who wrote the song. But you can have them make all kind of songs. You can throw away the ones you want and tweak it. But the scary part is, what if somebody calls your children and uses your voice...
Well, this is
and
the
says,
other part.
Open the garage, or say, hey, daddy be home, or come meet me here, and it's your parents' voice, and you, how do your kids supposed to know?
Well,
unless
think
they call
well,
you.
Well, how about, and I don't want to start making ideas, but I'm sure somebody's thinking of this. You know all the telemarketing calls that you get?
Yep.
Think about telemarketing calls that are in the voice of somebody. Now again, right now, AI, it's famous voices, and it takes so much technology to get, the, you know, like it has to be somebody that you have access to their voice.
Like a public figure.
And,
but
and usually it's
at, this
public,
point,
like,
at this point,
speakers,
you get somebody.
Musicians, cool. Rappers, like that's something, you know, politicians.
But people talk on TikTok and Snapchat, and you can get people voices off of social media.
I guess. But just think about that. Like, that's the scary part. You get what a telemarketing call is that you send. It sounds like your friend is calling you about it.
Sure, I got it.
You know? It's freaky, man. Absolutely freaky. So I don't know what to make of it. But in one sense, like I said, I heard it, and I was like, damn, this is so good. And in the other sense, I'm like, well, if they can do that.
What can't they do?
Right? 800-919-3776 is the number. Let's get some calls in here, Bart Scott. Let's go. Let's see. Hector's in Dover. Hector, we're all over the country today.
Oh, Dover's my hood.
Yeah, man.
It's not Dover, Delaware. It's Dover, New Jersey.
Yeah, I said that's my hood. I live in Mendham, son. We knew what you were saying.
Oh.
Mendham, son.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to thank you. You signed one of my hats one day when I went one of those Jets days.
I appreciate it.
Caught you on a rare day where you were nice.
Well, he was all buff, too. But anyway, I went to the first game, paid a lot of money to go to that game to see the Knicks lose. And I could tell you right now, through the first three quarters, the referees, it was just different, man. A lot of ticky-tack stuff with the smaller guys on the Heat. And a lot of those role-player guys, those no-name guys, they're small. You know what I mean? They're not big dudes. And I feel like, in general, the NBA has that problem. Like, I feel like big dudes, like LeBron big, like steamrolling type big, like fast.
Yeah.
They don't get the same kind of luxury calls that the smaller dudes do. And, like, not for nothing, man, Lowry, he flops.
Flops. Oh, no, he's the new Manu Ginobili.
He was getting those little ticky-tack fouls that when you're at the YMCA, you just laugh at the dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
And there was a lot of that going on, and I could see how that frustrates the players, right?
Of course.
Another thing I noticed, because I was on the Knicks bench side, and I was close enough to notice it, Randall didn't play that game, right? And what I noticed was that everybody was getting daps, but when what's the point guard name?
Brunson.
When Brunson came to sit down, he didn't dap Randall. So, and I saw Randall trying to coach up all the other young dudes, but something's going on with them too. I don't know if he was mad that he didn't play because of the ankle, but something was going on. Anyway. That nonetheless, when I turned on the game the other night, I saw that Hart was on the bench with five. I saw Brunson pick up his fifth. I saw Randall foul out. I saw him pick up five and six. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like ridiculous. How are you going to have the best players on the New York Knicks with five and six fouls and Miami Heat best players nothing? There's something going on, man. It's not right.
Well, they have two of the most crafty guys, like stepping in, taking charges, and also Jimmy Buckets with the pump fakes.
Let me just point out, the fouls were not, like, it wasn't a huge disparity in fouls. Like, the fouls this whole series have been fairly even. So it's not like one team's getting all the calls and one team's not getting any calls. It has been, but I think it's the Miami is seeking you out and trying to draw fouls on you. I mean, look what happened. It was game two. It was 2 minutes into the game. Bam got the ball on the post as if he was, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon. And it was one-on-one with Mitchell Robinson. And two possessions in a row, get it to Bam on the post, everybody clear out. And Bam just knew one or two pump fakes, Mitch can't help himself, drew two fouls, Mitch out of the game. Like that quickly. So it's. I think it's really more strategy of let's get him into foul trouble, let's get him, let's beat him up. And on the Knicks side of thing, it's just overload, make sure that Butler doesn't get off, that, you know, we have a hard time keeping guys in front, and then they're just leaving three-point shooters open. They're not really – it's not really a strategy of let's beat this guy up, let's beat that guy up. You know what I mean? It's just a different type of mentality, I think.
If I may, do you think that that was a charge, that last little move stopped and got out of the way?
Struce thing?
Not even close.
I wouldn't have called that a charge. That was a blocking foul, right?
You're talking about, It's a no call.
That last little playoff. This is the thing. That's where I think it's inequitable. I just think it's playoffs. You let them play. I feel like the Knicks are getting that type of energy, but not the Heat.
I will tell you, guys, man.
Have a good one.
I got you, Hector. I will say this. I did hear from a former NBA coach who told me that Game 3 was the worst officiated game he's seen. In the fact that he said you had no idea what was a foul and what wasn't, because on some plays there was hard contact, no call, and then on other plays there was a touch foul and the whistle would come out. So you really don't know how can I play physical or not, because from one possession to another you had no idea what was going to be a foul and what was. So Game 3 had some Knicks players certainly confused, and Game 4 was even more frustrating for several players, including Randle, who felt like you couldn't play physical in a series that has been physical. Now all of a sudden I can't play physical. Always something to watch, as you know, but I don't think there was – I'm not saying that one team is getting the benefit of whistles. I just think one team, and we know which one it is, it knows how to manipulate them. Simple as that, right?
Basically, a team is smarter in being able to get them in there. Like you said, if they're targeting early on, if they're targeting Mitchell Robinson – and
get him out of the game
and make sure they go at him early to try and get him in foul trouble, then, yeah, you know, that's smart strategy.
Because
it's like they're running offense with a purpose.
Right. 800-919-3776. Candy in Jersey. Candy. Oh, we lost Candy. All right. I like Candy. Let's go to Mike in Astoria, Mike.
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that Julius Randle, like you said, he gets in his feelings. Allows Miami to manipulate fouls. The guy basically is a role player in my eyes. I would trade Mitchell Robinson, R.J. Barrett, and Randle for a shot at Jaylen Brown.
Damn.
Well, I mean, I don't know if Boston would.
Yeah, they probably want draft picks, too.
I don't think Boston's interested if you're taking players you don't want and giving you their best player. They're not doing that.
Get
Steve
them
in Connecticut. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'd like to comment on something that happened yesterday. You guys talked about yesterday. I was trying to get through, couldn't get through. The first game the Knicks won, it was at home. I was DJing, I had a great session. And I had a conversation with somebody about this. These guys tried to be the bully until they met the bully. Mm-hmm. The bully punched them in the nose and did not know what to do with this. And I got gassed and fooled also throughout the whole season. These guys are tough. The defensive intensity is there. 98 Knicks. They're not the 98 Knicks. Anybody would have gotten that lane. We would have had a bruiser on the bench as a hockey player coming to put some bruising on him to think about coming in that lane again. Mitch needs to step up. Jules, I'm a psych nurse by profession. He needs to take a class on empathic detachment to learn how to take his empathy and that nonsense and take it out of his brain. He needs individual therapy. Some of these teams need to have a therapist on staff.
They do.
A professional counselor. No,
he has
some of these guys, they don't know how to put it together.
He has a mental coach. Steve, I'm telling you, he's got a coach that he works with on the mental side of the game, because he had struggled with he's had anger issues where we've seen him flip. Again, he flipped off the crowd. And he had to find a way to find peace in a lot of times of frustration, although that frustration still boils over. And instead of him taking it out on the opponent, he just stops playing.
Yeah.
The problem he deals with is that he just starts to give up mentally. And he can't do that.
He doesn't know how to convert that energy. He needs to convert that into positive. If he converts all that negative into a positive, he's going to be golden. He's a bully in the paint. He needs to be that bully. Stop being the timid. If you're 6'500", you should be able to do something.
I'll tell you what, Steve. The one thing that I will agree on is I've reached a point in this series, and usually you should, where as a team, there's not one guy that's, you know, paying attention closely to this game, watching film and everything else, that just says to himself, man, Jimmy's landed on one foot. Next time he comes near me, I'm going to see if he can make him land on that other foot. Because it's one foul. I can apologize. But yeah. He's killing us. He's landing on one foot. I know that ankle ain't right. Guy's making faces. Guy's got a lot to say. Let me just drop him for a second and just see how he reacts to it. That's all. What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm not going to get thrown out. I'm not going to do it dirty, but I'm sure going to let him know, like, I don't want him to be comfortable. The other thing is that there's Kyle Lowry. All right, I know this guy's going to flop, so if I have an opportunity, I might run his ass over.
Yeah, you're going to take it for real. Yeah.
You want to jump backwards? How about you go into the second row? How does that feel now?
I'm going to take that knee, that one-legged jump with that knee to that sternum on the way up.
Like, it's just like no one has thought about that. And I'm not saying play dirty. It's not my point. My point is that they are out-tricking you. And they are doing things that are making you look stupid.
It's like
and there's not a part of you that's like, all right, I know what's coming. Mm-hmm. So here comes Struce. He's going to slide in. Well, Struce is about to take a kneecap to his the nasal cavity.
Yeah,
how's that going to feel?
Yeah, and I'm about to fall on top of him. When I go up, I'm coming down on top of him. My bad.
Oops. Oh, loose ball? Oh, I'm diving elbows and knees first.
Listen, you see how something. Marcus Smart, he don't even be near the ball. He just dives at people's legs.
All the time.
All right, you want to do that? I'm going to fall right on your head. Just like Joel Embiid stepped on old boy face.
Yeah.
How about that?
That's
what you want to do?
There's been no physical response. The only one was Randall and Cody Zeller.
Yeah, come at Zeller.
That's it.
He's a non-factor.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Come at somebody for real.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.